What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk to good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. Excited to learn about comic book characters, as usual.
You know what else you should be excited for is that next week we are actually launching the premiere of our brand new show. It's called the Heroes for Hire podcast, and it's going to come out on Monday, and it's mad.
We're really excited, you know?
It's going to involve movie news.
You got movie news. You got weird news all in the one package.
Yeah. And it's over an hour and 20 minutes long. So it's an actual, like, jam-packed variety hour show that we've designed due to the fact of time constraints. And we think movies should be talked about a little bit more, but probably not enough to have their own show. So we've combined the shows together, and every Monday, instead of a Weird News Wednesday... So no, Weird News Wednesday will not be coming out anymore.
It doesn't exist on its own.
The Monday show will include movie news and weird news. So if you're interested in either of them, there will be timestamps. Sean has jingles ready. He told me he's going to put jingles
so
into
many
the show.
Jingles. Get ready for some jingles.
15 uncopyrighted music jingles coming up. But mostly...
Oh no, they're copyrighted. It's you too.
I have three Rihanna songs locked in.
I'll be honest, it's Rolling Stones cover to cover, folks.
Are we allowed to do that?
they're not going to stop them. Us, are they? Yeah, let them come to my door. I'll fight
They're so old. They got nothing. They have no money either. Everyone knows the Rolling Stones are broke, and we are willing to take them to the cleaners.
The Rolling Stones, self-represented in the music licensing world.
Us in court against them and their 17 lawyers. And I was going, yeah, but we needed a jingle, Your Honour.
Your Honour, with all due respect, you don't know what's going on here.
Weird News Wednesdays and Movie Mondays are combined, Your Honour. I don't understand. So yeah, that show is coming out next week. It is the official premiere. We're calling it Episode 1, but it's just a combination of the two. So
it's like our Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of thing. It's all smashed together now.
So this is Hero Zero, though, Sean, because this is the show where I talk DC characters and you talk Marvel characters. So
I do.
Last week, you did a report on Null. One of our patrons very kindly suggested it on Instagram, and we go through the list. We get to them. Eventually, Null came up. The King of the Symbiotes.
King, God, whatever you want to call him. He made them. He created them. What does that mean?
And so we basically get through all these characters. People suggest them. You're all absolutely cool and nice and just lovely about the whole thing. If this is your first episode, you don't got to do anything. If this is your second or above, we would appreciate a 5 stars, a follow, a like, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. It would really help us out. But Sean, enough of the shy talk, because I feel like this is going to be a slightly longer episode.
I picked a
character.
We have a hard out today. We have to be gone at a certain point.
I will admit, I had the character picked before the time constraints were put in place.
Absolutely understandable.
So I picked the character because it's a character that we did a report on many, many, many years ago. And what we're doing currently is we're kind of like refilling the catalogue with the good characters that all those episodes have been deleted. They're all from 2018. Nobody even listened to them the first time around. Yeah. So at this point, it's fine. And now all of you lovely people all tune in every week. So I felt like now we can bring the good characters back. Because, for example...
Yeah, that was all practice. That's why we're doing episode one again.
We're starting again. We should pretend like we introduce each other, or like introduce each other to each other on Monday.
So my name is Sean. Yeah, we should.
Sean, we are going to be doing Hero Zero, and I'm going to be doing a character around since 1941. And I cannot stress enough how much this character, to me, is the other side of the coin of Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson is Nightwing. Little Dicky, famous on all of our merch. Don't get confused with other things that are also known as Little Dicky. I wore my Little Dicky shirt, by the way.
You can do underwear in the merch store if you want the Little Dicky.
I wore my Little Dicky hoodie, by the way, in front of my dad. And he gave me the most disappointed look I think I've ever had.
It's understandable, to be fair.
But like, and then I was like, oh, it's a comic book character, and that made the look worse. Like, it actually got more disappointed.
So, oh, so yeah, you bought this because you like it, is what he's thinking.
Well, no, I get it for free.
Well, yeah, but...
It's a nice hoodie, you know what I mean? If we don't want to wear...
quality hoodie, folks. Who else
will? Who else will if we won't? So,
that
Sean,
Hero Zero shirt is pretty good, by the way.
That, well, you know, that hoodie is slick. Presents for all my family members every Christmas.
Cushions, baby grows, we've got them all. Anyway, sorry.
You sound like a guy who works in like a London market. So, Sean, I'm going to be doing Roy Harper this week.
Roy Speedy Harper.
Speedy Harper, otherwise known as Red Arrow, otherwise known as Arsenal.
Yeah. A man who has been through it in comics.
So, the reason why I say he's the other side of the coin of Dick Grayson is that I feel like they both came within like a year of each other in terms of comic books. Both of them are Green Arrow and Batman's sidekicks. Obviously, two of the most famous characters without powers. Two very rich people who use their money in their city to improve it, and then also dress up as people and beat the piss out of other people.
Hey, wait, you're right. They are really similar.
Hang on a minute. Green Arrow, I feel like, is more involved, though. I feel like he's more of a legend in terms of the community than Bruce Wayne is. Bruce Wayne, kind of a dick sometimes. So,
yeah, I also feel like there's more merit to what Green Arrow does. I feel like he's practiced archery more.
So, they both came within a year of each other, and they're both basically just like sidekicks for their big muscly main character, who also, the reason why they're called Speedy, or Roy Harper's called Speedy, is because he's faster than Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And Nightwing, of course, or Dick Grayson's Robin, of course, very flippy, much quicker in terms
flippy
of agility.
Boy. He was a circus freak as a child.
A little bit of a lunatic freak, right? I'm glad his parents fell.
Yeah, I wish they fell twice.
I wish Tony Zuko picked them up and pushed them again. So, to Roy Harper, his life, though, kind of takes a much different path, I would say. They start off probably very similar, and then it very quickly goes in a different direction that's
then
super
late
fucked
80s,
up.
90s, I want to say, hits. Then
early 70s, it goes
early
fucked
70s.
Up. Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, Roy Harper was the son of a forest ranger. He never knew his mother, and he was just raised by his father. But when he was only 3 years old... I'm going to let you stroke.
That was a good joke.
When he was only 3 years old, his father died in a forest fire. He was saving a reservation for the Navajo reservation during a major fire, right? And the shaman of the reservation was called Brave Bow. And as a sign of gratitude because of his father's sacrifice, he took the young boy in when his father died.
That's cool.
And brought him in. And so under Brave Bow's care, Roy Harper was raised as a traditional Navajo. I'm going in at Navajo. And don't
without seeing
me,
the
please.
Spelling, that's what I'm assuming.
I don't mean to be rude. I'm just illiterate.
I'll be honest. This character came from 1941. I'm going to assume we're handling it better than they did.
You know, Brave Bow is looking racist. You know he is.
Yeah.
And he was treated as a member of the tribe. Brave Bow recognised Roy's early talent for archery, and he trained the boy throughout his time on the reservation. So, like, he didn't have a lot of friends, there wasn't a lot of kids his age there, so he just basically practised non-stop archery.
His one focus was just, I'm going to get real good at archery.
He has literally nothing else. So he develops the skill of basically someone twice his age by the time he's 10. And he's just like a complete natural at it. And after Green Arrow's public debut in like the city, obviously Roy Harper develops an immediate hero worship for the man and follows his exploits avidly, because now there's a superhero who's good at the thing he's good at.
That's kind of cool, because it's nice to have, like, Roy was already really good at archery, and then he's just sees a hero who... is also good at archery.
And
like, that's,
like,
that's,
he has like also a father figure, because obviously his father is no longer with him. So like he sees this like really like talented archer who's saving people and is a hero and is hailed as a hero in the city. And he's like, oh shit, like that's what I need to aspire to be.
Yeah. If I could work with that guy, my life would be perfect from here on out.
Nothing will go wrong, he says with his left arm. When Green Arrow visited the reservation in order to judge an archery contest, so Green Arrow's there as just like a kind of thing, shows up the archery contest. Roy Harper is shitting himself. He's like, this is my big break. This is my big moment. I'm going to impress him. And he gets to the final round of the tournament, but he's sabotaged and he's given a magnetized arrow, forcing him to miss the last shot and lose in front of his hero. So one of the other competitors sabotaged him because they knew he loved Green Arrow.
That's mean. That's a mean thing to do to your friend.
However, afterwards, Roy, there was a robbery on the reservation while Green Arrow was still there. And Roy, without thinking, turned around and he helped stop a robber by quickly drawing and firing an arrow at him. Green Arrow was again impressed and noted that Harper was even speedier with a bow than he was.
Say that again?
Bow. Green Arrow offered to take Roy in as his ward. So it's basically just a mirror image of what they did with Dick Grayson the year before in comics. And then they just were like, oh, that worked really well. Let's do this again.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's they had like only so many pages to get them a sidekick.
Yeah.
To get more kids reading comics.
And so like the two were known as obviously Oliver Queen and Roy Harper. And then he's a foster child now. In private, Queen trains Harper to be his partner in crime fighting. You could use these exact words, but just swap it with Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne. It's all the same.
The script was already written. It's fine.
Roy was extensively drilled in the use of both standard arrows and trick arrows. And when you know boxing glove on the end of the arrow. That's what you're thinking, obviously.
It's the only trick arrow I recognise.
But when it becomes so used, is it any longer a trick arrow, is the question.
It's still not your standard arrow. There's way more regular arrows.
When Green Arrow judged him to be sufficiently skilled, Roy was presented with his own costume and a superheroic identity of Speedy at the age of 13.
Feels young, I'll be honest.
Feels young, but look, what can you do?
Because the rest of the people have guns. And he's got a bow and arrow.
Brave Bow died a little shortly after this, after Roy becomes Speedy. And so Oliver Queen basically is his only father figure moving forward. And the two of
he's
them
lost
are,
two fathers now.
He's lost two, he's got one left, and he still has two arms. Can confirm, two arms, one dad.
Might seem weird that we keep mentioning the number of arms he has, but just pay attention.
Just keep
two
in
arms.
Mind, two at the moment. Arm watch is on two. Okay, so as Speedy, Harper assisted his mentor during many of his cases, and just as Green Arrow had become a member of the Justice League of America, Speedy joined the Teen Titans. And this was a major part. So Speedy's like a real major part of the early Teen Titans. Him and Donna Troy are always like in an on again, off again relationships. And one time after they broke up, really hit him hard. And along the same time, the Teen Titans disbanded, leaving Roy without an outlet to see his friends. Thirdly, Oliver was being kind of a shitty dad and had just kind of left. Had lost a lot of his fortune due to one of her storylines. But not only that, had then travelled America with Green Lantern and Black Canary, leaving Roy completely helpless by himself.
Like 16, 17 at this point? Like,
yeah, he's about that, yeah. It's 1971 at this point.
You're right, okay. So, look, surely Speedy will find a little support network for himself, reach out to some old friends, perhaps.
Yeah.
Go on his travels.
Increasingly alone and extremely depressed, Harper began using heroin and became addicted. The famous comic book panel where Green Arrow walks in. It won an award. Very famous comic book at the time. But Green Arrow is on the cover and he walks in. Roy is sitting there and he just says, "My ward is a junkie."
Yeah. Got a tube around his arm and shit. It's wild.
Because at the time, heroin was like becoming a major problem in America. So the comic books decided to be like, kids, don't do drugs. And they did that by showing Roy Harper becoming addicted to drugs.
There's 100% there was a discussion of, do we get Robin addicted to drugs?
They were picking a sidekick, and I guarantee what happened was they weighed it up and they were like, Dick Grayson is more popular, so we can take Roy out. Even though Roy is popular, but Dick Grayson is the most popular sidekick.
He's Batman's sidekick. We can't have him be addicted to heroin.
Also around, if it's 71, so Batman and Robin, the show had just finished on TV, 60, Adam West Batman, so that was probably even more popular at that time. Like, it was sillier, a lot more campy. So I don't know if it was the right vibe. Until like later in the 70s when it got super dark to like overcome that. So I think they probably went with Roy just because they were like, ah, fuck it.
And he's still notable enough that like, oh, it's wild that this happened.
Now, the issue with this is that Green Arrow, how do you think he reacts to finding out his ward is a junkie?
Supportive, is there for him, puts him in, gets him some treatment programs, and helps him through the stages of withdrawal.
Oliver punches him in the face immediately and kicks him out of the house, leaving the boy homeless.
Which is exactly what you want to do to someone who's grappling with a heroin addiction.
He's only 16 with a heroin addiction. Assault him and then throw him out on the street. Then he will clean up his act. That's obviously the next step. Roy was later found by Hal Jordan, and with the help of Black Canary and others, Harper promised to quit the drugs cold turkey. Now look, he doesn't like officially give up forever. I think that's part of the Roy Harper character, is that he is a recovering addict all the time. And I think that actually makes him like a really great character, because you can use that as like, there's lots of stories in which he does have to fight that. If something really fucked up happens, like later on, he does have to constantly fight with arm count two at the moment.
But yeah, like it's an ongoing thing that he has to deal with now. He doesn't like, it's not just like, oh, he got over it, he's no longer addicted.
Exactly.
Like,
now the problem is that Roy grew to resent his mentor Green Arrow for how the man treated him at his lowest point.
You would,
and he does have a point, and it wedges a massive gap between them that takes years to mend in the comic books. Like, they don't talk at all, which is
wild.
Very Dick Grayson and Batman kind of vibes, but like, this is a lot worse, I think.
but also, like, Green Arrow very much did something wrong.
Batman's just like a consistent dick, like all the time. And Dick Grayson eventually decides, you're a dick all the time, I don't want to work with you. Which
Dick
is
grows
different.
To realise it, and consciously is like, no, I've had enough of this.
Whereas I think Roy is like, no, you've actively done something terrible and you need to apologise. And Oliver just never...
opposite of helping me.
What happens next, though, is Harper starts working as a counsellor for teens with drug problems following his recovery, and he no longer works with Green Arrow, and he tries to like do a solo career as Speedy. He also joins a reformed Teen Titans, but the team once again disbands. This happens over and over and over again, by the way, for all of the Teen Titans, in that there's a consistent thing from like 1960 to like 2005, where maybe 2010, where every 5 years they reform and the same crew get thrown in together over and over again. I've gotten rid of at least four more reforms in this article or in this report already.
Because the comic does well for a while, because you bring back the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And then interest starts petering off, and then they all go and join into other stories.
Exactly. So like, after that, he then becomes a government agent. He joins the CBI, which is the Central Bureau of Investigations. It's led by a character called Sarge Steele. And basically, Sarge invites Roy to work with them and train for undercover missions. They also teach him how to use firearms. And Roy finds out that he's just as accurate with a gun as he is with a bow and arrow.
I mean, you probably would be. Like, it'll probably help a lot.
Your sight is probably pretty good, regardless.
Yeah, and then... Like, I'm sure he's not, like, Deadshot level, but it's still insane. He's beyond human. Like,
he becomes an official CBI drug enforcement agent along this time as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and so, now, one of the major things with Rido is the fact that on one of his undercover assignments, he's tasked with gaining the trust of a sociopath, otherwise known as Cheshire. Now, Cheshire she's an assassin, basically. She's a mercenary, right? Just a complete badass. This is also, by the way, in Young Justice, the TV show. Sean hasn't seen it, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Well.
He was eventually meant to turn Cheshire over to the authorities, but the two fell in love and they had an affair. And he couldn't help, he couldn't turn her in the end, but he was worried that, like, him still being there was going to endanger her. So he's forced to abandon her, unaware that she was pregnant with his child at the time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So
big developments for Roy.
9 months later, Roy learns that he's the father of Cheshire's daughter, Leanne. And he teamed up with his old friend Nightwing to track down Cheshire and prevent her from doing some more assassinations that she was planning on doing. Roy was captured by Cheshire and almost killed by her, but she eventually escapes, leaving the little Leanne behind. And Roy's life changes once again as he swore his responsibilities as a single father to his daughter. So he's got a daughter and two arms and one father figure.
Daughter, two arms, one father figure. Friend in Nightwing.
Friend, he's got lots of friends. Lots of father figure, Green Arrowhead, him are on the rocks, but he's got other people that he looks up to. And now he has a daughter that he's like, I'm going to put it all in for her.
Man, he stepped up. Fair play to him.
He stepped up. You know what I mean? And during all this time, like, they did try to reform the Titans again. Then he also brings the Titans into the CBI with him and Sarge Steel, because he's like, oh, I've got an in, so you can come in with me. Nightwing steps down as leader and he steps up, taking the more mature alias of Arsenal on, as he does, because it's literally a mirror image of Robin becoming Nightwing as leader of the Teen Titans, is that Nightwing steps down and they're like, we need somebody that can lead the team as we're part of the CBI. So the obvious choice is, I'm an agent for the CBI and I'm head of the Titans as well.
Yeah, so this is a great opportunity to come into my
and
own.
I'm an adult
and
now.
Establish my own identity, yeah. Way better handled than in CW's show Arrow, where it was, what am I, just another tool in your arsenal? Well,
but he also, to be fair, in the Arrow show, he does love parkour. And that's my favourite
so
thing.
Much.
There's full fight scenes where, like, Ollie's fighting three people at once and he's just doing backflips behind them. Like, he's committing to it. He just loves parkour.
They're pretty rad backflips.
Oh, he backflips. So now he's no longer using simply a bow and arrow. He uses, like, a high-tech costume that they give to him, the government gives to him, and he uses guns and arrows and basically everything. He's just a killer now, straight up.
Yeah. He doesn't have a no gun rule, of course. Like, he
doesn't have a no gun rule, no.
He'll get the job done.
Now, look, the team disbands, of course it does, but he used that time to reopen a dialogue with his mentor, Green Arrow. And the two they then eventually managed to forgive each other and bury their past differences, which was good. So he used that moment as he got back in with the Teen Titans to kind of talk to Ollie. And I think Dick was like, you need to talk to Ollie. Like, you and him. I've kind of settled things down with Bruce. You can definitely do it with Ollie.
This is, like, the next step for you. Is like, as, like, become, like, getting free of being Green Arrow's sidekick.
But what do you know about the team, the Outsiders?
Very, very little. You've mentioned them a couple of times in various reports.
So the Outsiders are, I'm trying to think up an idea. So, like, the DC has, like, the Suicide Squad and the Justice League and the Teen Titans. And the Outsiders are just that. They're, like, what's left. But they, like, do, like, government missions. But not, like, suicide missions.
Kind of like the Thunderbolts, maybe, in Marvel.
Yeah, actually, that's probably the best way I can think about it, yeah. So they just kind of do, like, but they're, like, a weird collection of heroes. So they've been led by Nightwing and Batman and Arsenal. along the way. And the idea is that they're going to get rid of like the family environment of the Titans and then become a more like professional and proactive team of just adults. Yeah. That don't,
it's not like, hey, we're all friends who happen to fight crime together. It's like, this is our job. We're going to fight
crime. We don't
live
together or like in a big tower. We just literally show up. You have a mission. We get it. We're like soldiers. We just go. And obviously Arsenal's brought into the outsiders. He's asked to form his own outsiders. And they give him like state-of-the-art equipment and they give him a brand new team in New York. So he gets Metamorpho, a character called Grace, and Thunder. And the last recruit for the outsiders was Nightwing, because he's like, I'm going to bring Nightwing in. Nightwing, completely uninterested in joining the new superhero team, doesn't really give a shit anymore. Arsenal argued that perhaps a team of strangers would operate more efficiently than a team with so many emotional attachments. And so Nightwing, still reluctant, agrees to join and then eventually immediately becomes field leader of the outsiders straight away. Because
he's proved himself.
Because he's immediately like, you're the best. The two of them are like, they're very close friends. And I think Roy is like, you're the leader. Like, Roy is the leader when he's not around, but when Dick Grayson walks into the room, it's like, okay, he's the real leader.
He knows the most and he can use us all to the best of our abilities in the field.
Exactly. And so, now, not long after his return, the outsiders took on a case that involved a child slaver named Tanner. Tanner, super bad dude, right? Just like one of the worst. Child slaver. Yeah. This might surprise you.
What's worse than a slaver? A child slaver.
You adult slaves, bad. Child slaves, oh boy, he's worse.
So much worse.
One of Tanner's informants recognised Roy from years prior, and he targets his daughter Leanne to try and get her into slavery.
Roy won't like that.
Tanner and the child slavers tracked her down, killed her nanny, and abducted the girl while Roy was on a mission with the outsiders. Back at their base, they then branded her with Tanner's mark, intending to sell her on the black market.
This is really dark.
Yeah, from this point on, Sean, this is super dark, because Roy's had an easy enough life so far, and I'm going to tell you, there's a switch that's just clicked that's going to lead to several situations that are absolutely the worst thing anyone's ever had done to them.
Right, I see. But he's going to approach this with both hands, is what you're saying.
He's going to grab it with certainly one hand. So, however, with the outsiders, Arsenal found the Predator's hideouts, rescued his daughter and all the other children from being sold, and then he also killed Tanner because he's like, fuck you. So oddly though, there's also a weird other story in this, is that Deathstroke was going to kill him, and he's about to kill him until he saw the bullet wound scars on Roy's chest and allowed him to live, believing he had probably suffered enough in his life. Which is cool, but also Deathstroke, what's up with that, man?
Deathstroke, if your whole thing is that if you're hired to do a job, you do the job. You don't decide the dude's nice at the end.
Yeah. What really was a major turning point, ironically, so that was a terrible story, but his daughter is okay, he gets her back, and all that. What really was the turning point, ironically, was one of the happiest days of his life, in which he gets asked to join the Justice League by Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. They decide to reform the Justice League, and they ask him to join. And he's like, I finally made it. I'm in the big leagues. And not only that, but Hal Jordan, on one of their first missions, accidentally almost calls him Roy in front of people. And to save himself, he goes, Red Arrow. And that's how he gets the name Red Arrow.
That's kind of dumb, but fun. I like it.
Yeah. Harper is surprised by the nickname, but he soon embraces the identity. And he basically sees the name and the costume as symbolic of coming of age. Like, he's finished with all that shit.
he's able now. He's at the same level where he can take over from the dude who was his hero as a kid.
Exactly. Everything's coming up Milhouse for all the Red Arrow, so it is.
Right. And that's the end of the report, I believe.
Happiest day of his life, and that is the end of the report. Nothing else happens to him. He's fine. Anyone who does know what's about to happen, you're probably sad, but it doesn't.
Let's just all live in the moment where Roy's happy for 2 seconds.
It's like in Dune, if we turn it off after an hour and a half, everyone's fine. Oscar Isaac, fucking lovely and healthy. Just leave it.
Exactly. No, nothing bad will ever happen to that family again.
Green Arrow's Justice League soon discovers a plot concocted by the supervillain Prometheus. And Prometheus is going around and he wants to basically kill everyone in the Justice League of America. Okay?
Yes. We've talked about Prometheus on the show before.
Prometheus is a very, very, very bad human being. So the Justice League have a meeting in the Watchtower regarding Prometheus's plan. They find out, like, he wants to blow up basically all of America. Like, blow up all the cities. Roy is present for the meeting, but he briefly steps out of the room to call his daughter Leanne and wish her good night, because it's her bedtime.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
However, unbeknownst to all of the Justice League members, Prometheus had already infiltrated their headquarters and he ambushed Roy, beating him senseless and in the end, cutting off his fucking arm with a sword.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Now all the arm watch stuff makes sense.
He's got one arm. Red Arrow escapes the fight long enough to return to the meeting and collapse on the ground with all of the other heroes just like springing into action immediately.
That's dramatic as fuck. I love that.
Yeah. As Roy's wounds were addressed, Prometheus reveals himself to the Justice League and allows himself to be captured. To reveal more of his plan, to destroy all the major cities protected by superheroes. And on cue, Prometheus then remotely signals his trigger man, the electrocutioner, who activates a massive teleporter that destroys most of Star City, the home of Green and Red Arrow. So that is where Roy Harper lives.
Dear, pretty bad day. Pretty good and then bad day for Roy.
Well, you're kind of forgetting one little thing, Shaw, because Roy was too injured from losing his arm to aid in the rescue effort, but he was brought to surgery in a hospital. And so, however, Green Arrow and Black Canary go down to their city to help the survivors. There's very little left, though, and one of the heroes found Roy's home in the rubble, destroyed. Yep. And the dead body of his young daughter, Leanne, who had perished. In the bomb.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Now,
that's a pretty bad time.
It's a pretty bad day, is what I would say, for old Roy.
Yeah. Fuck, what do you say to a man after a day like that?
Well, Black Canary was the one given the mission to inform Roy that only had he lost his arm, but he has now lost his daughter in a terrorist attack. So this is in the hospital after his major surgery. Roy couldn't handle the information and suffered numerous emotional breakdowns. And he also found out that Mia Dearden, who was Leanne's babysitter that night, also the second Speedy, had actually survived the blast and blamed her for his daughter's death. But at this point, he's blaming everybody for his daughter's death.
Because, he can't process that. This is every trauma happening at once.
He was given a new bionic arm. Now, it made him worse at shooting for a very long time until he practiced. He was now, like, shit at shooting.
Yeah, and he had to relearn everything, basically.
He literally had nothing anymore. Like, he couldn't do anything.
Prometheus just took everything from Roy.
Everything from him. He then, a few days later, is informed that Green Arrow has murdered Prometheus with an arrow to the head as vengeance for all the pain he had caused.
Good.
Roy approved of the punishment, but he hated that Ollie was the one to do it, because he was like, you should have let me.
Yeah, but I feel like, Ollie probably was just like, I just want this dude dead, he hurt.
Yeah.
He hurt myself.
There's a whole massive part after this, is that like, even at the daughter's funeral, like he's hallucinating thumping noises coming from her coffin, as if she's still alive. He starts sliding back into drug use. because he's now taking drugs to just like numb all of the pain that he has. He doesn't have the same level of accuracy ever again that he had before. Up until this point, he doesn't.
Yeah. And he's like 25 at this point.
Yeah,
like,
he's just lost everything. He's haunted by like the memories of his old drug buddies. And out of strolling painkillers one night, Roy gives in to temptation and he relapses on heroin. And during his high, he even like attacks a bunch of heroin addicts and like takes their heroin as well, dressed as Red Arrow.
Jesus.
He's just like, he's completely over hallucinating that Leanne is still alive and he's like holding a cat.
Oh, a cat.
That like in his brain is Leanne, but like they find him and he's just holding like a kitten.
Fuck me. He's just had a full on break. Like he's just.
Yeah. Nightwing finds him, thankfully not Green Arrow, and basically
sort of punched the face.
He's so over he just starts fighting Nightwing, and so Dick Grayson is like defending himself and eventually subdues him and gets him into a rehabilitation clinic straight away. That is like, this man has literally lost everything.
Yeah. Like, someone needs to help him.
Someone needs to help. And he does eventually come clean. And one night he purposely hurts himself to cause like the alarms to go off. He breaks out and he goes to the electrocutioner. He goes to the prison where the electrocutioner is, where he was the guy, you'd remember, that set off the bombs.
He pushed the button.
Wanting revenge, he managed to, he basically wanted revenge for Leanne's death. And Green Arrow manages to catch up to Roy and he's like, I regret killing Prometheus. You don't need to do this. Senseless revenge. Reconsider all that stuff. Roy doesn't even listen to a word he's saying. He breaks into the prison and cruelly butchers the electrocutioner with a set of knives to death.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So now he's less like Dick Grayson and he's become a little bit Jason Todd after this.
Exactly. And now, after that, there is a story where Deathstroke kind of gives him the point. He also, after the murder, by the way, of the electrocutioner, he returns to his home and burns it down, including all of his possessions. Because he's just like, and then he reclaims the title as Arsenal, right?
Right.
Because he's just like, I'm done. I'm not Roy Harper. Like, I'm finished.
Yeah, I'm just the mission now.
Yeah, so there's a story after that where Deathstroke basically tries to convince him to join his new Teen Titans team. And the idea is that like he has a way of bringing people back from the dead, like a Lazarus pit. And Cheshire is there too. And she's like, yeah, perfect. Let's bring Leanne back.
Bring her daughter back.
And Roy is like, no, let's not bring her back. She's fine. And it's at that moment that he finally accepts that he actually is like, he accepts her debt. And this is like 10 years later in comic books. And that's like a major moment for the character. And he's like, let's let her rest. She doesn't need to come back.
She's been through enough.
Yeah.
She's like, and it's done. Man.
In the New 52, by the way, him and Jason Todd are best friends, which makes sense. They do retroactively take away a lot of his history, but like that, he's one of the darkest histories in all DC Comics. In terms of powers and abilities, cybernetic enhancement. So his arm was obviously torn off by Prometheus, replaced with a bionic replacement. Archery. He's an incredible marksman. He's extremely adept at the use of the bow and arrow. Is able to hit a bullseye of a standard target from 200 meters away. He's a master marksman, highly skilled with firearms. He's got great investigation skills, leadership skills, martial arts. He's an expert in basically fucking everything. He regularly fights all of the Teen Titans and the Justice League members, and he's just as good a sparrer as Nightwing and all of them. Like, he's more of a boxer than he is like a flipper, but he beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, he's like a brawler. Like,
he's a full on brawler.
He's a well trained brawler.
Yeah, he also has a massive. He's good at stick fighting, throwing. He's good at throwing anything if you want to throw something.
Loving an archer character is good at just throwing things.
And he's got like little weapons, basically very similar to Nightwing. He's got like electronic pulses and a custom bow, which is a carbon copy of Green Arrow's custom bow. He's got more like modern enhancements than his than Ollie does. So, yeah. Like, he's got, like, the newer version that he adds and, like, takes away things depending on the mission. But he's one of, like, the most, like... He's one of those characters that you can see... He's Nightwing if Nightwing had a different life.
Yeah.
Is basically it.
And he's also... What's nice about him and, like, characters like this is that he's got every reason to not be a hero.
Yeah.
Like, he's been fucked over so many times.
Mm.
But he still just is good at the end of the day.
He just tries his best all the time.
Yeah. But he's not, like, so far gone. He doesn't become Punisher, which is very easy to fall into with a dead family character.
Yeah, he never tips over. He's always just, like... And there's several years in comic books where he's like, clearly, I mean, if you lost your arm and your daughter was blown up, you'd be, and then
your
you were
city?
Just, and your whole city and everyone you loved was nearly like killed other than like your one guy that you like in Black Canary. And then they tell you in the hospital, like, it's, and you're already like an addict. Like you're after overcoming that as well. You can see why he falls back into that. Cause he's just like, nothing matters. Like it's,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. He loses hope, but he finds it again.
He finds it at the very, that's one of my favorite panels for all of Roy Harper is when Deathstroke is like, we'll bring her back. And it's that, and you're like, you're reading the story, like, he's definitely going to say yes. He's definitely going to say, and then at the very end, he says no. And Cheshire's the one that's like, we should bring her back. And he's like, no. Let's just leave her.
Just let her rest.
Let her rest.
It wouldn't be her. Wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same person. Like, let's just leave. So that is my report on Roy Harper.
Very well done, Connor, and definitely better than it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Two arms to one arm.
Two arms to one arm, one robot arm now. Would you like me to take us out?
Yes, please.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hero or Zero. We will be back on Monday with episode 1 of the Heroes for Hire podcast, and then next Friday with another episode of Hero or Zero. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon, patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast, who supports the show and helps us to keep it going. If you want to join those people to support us, we would really, really, really appreciate it. You can also go to the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @HeroesforHirePod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire podcast, and the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Dean.
I shall see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.